Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another Roma Press Podcast coming from a different, not the usual wood backdrop this time. Roma, Europa League. Can we finally say it, Andy? Let's say it now. Dim the lights. Curtains are closing. We will get into that shortly. Of course, our wonderful patrons over at Patreon, our two newest, Jack Fitzgerald and Roma Juice Key. Fantastic game. Thank you both for your support. And of course, all of our other wonderful patrons, patreon.com/RomaPress, at Ice Roma Press, video version, podcast, social media. You know all of the handles.
I just realized that the last episode, when we actually won the match, we didn't advertise our patron. Now that we lost the game, we advertise it. I think we're basically inviting the people to become patrons.
Yes.
Suffering is at its peak.
Yes. Well, and tonight, without doubt, qualifies as suffering because Roma, they lose 1-0, and they are obviously in a precarious position on the Europa League. Again, I'm not complaining. I don't think you are. Nonetheless, it was one of those performances where, let me just double check before I say it. Yes, Alkmaar, one shot on target, one goal. Okay, thank you. The usual, the special. Thank you very much. We had a lot of individual performances that were less than appetizing, we can say. My boy Zaki Salik catching strays once more. He was horrible. I can be unbiased at times. And then we also had just an array of underwhelming performances. Generally, this is a competition and a point of the season where I'm not going to fret too much because this is right again. Cremonese, Roma, Coppa Italia last year. We got something akin to what we saw tonight. Obviously, Roma came out on the other side of that one. However, this one, if you just want to speak of some of the most ineffective football, tonight would be right up there because Roma got their first shot, Andy, at the half-hour mark. Half an hour of just hoofing the ball around. No ideas, very little understanding between the players. And generally, again, I wouldn't put too much weight into it. However, this was, let me see. Yes, other than Pellegrini, this is the formation that we have seen be relatively successful in recent weeks. So on the one hand, time of the season, competition that I really couldn't be too bothered about. It was nice to see a flashback of some of the names out there that Roma faced tonight as the host. I mean, some of these names, Bruno Martins Indy is, I remember that name from World Cup infamy in what, 2014, perhaps? I mean, just fascinating. Fascinating stuff. Some of the names on the Jordan Clasie as well. I mean, again, fantastic, some of these names. If we were playing a game of FIFA 2013, I mean, this was fantastic stuff. But listen, I feel much better if we were playing the likes of Shomuratov. I would feel far better if we were just, I'm irked that this was a relatively strong formation tonight that more
or less.
And yet
we could all see it coming. All see it coming. Miles and miles away, we could see it coming. That's the thing, John, is it's like another away game, another loss. Like it's as predictable as ever. You know, you finally build up a certain streak and Roma, once again, they go, listen, I don't know what happened in recent weeks, but somehow this club has managed to spin this narrative around the fact that the Europa League, that they're in it, that they want to win it, that they're there, that they can get to the Europa League final. Even Mats Hummels today before the game, he said, certainly we have the quality. Yeah, maybe so. But if I were to grade Roma's Europa League campaign this year, I would give it like a 1.5 out of 10.
Oh, yes.
Honestly, the kind of emotions that they've granted me are so disastrous. There's just nothing worth talking about in terms of what they can achieve in Europe. Let's face it, nothing, okay? Let me break it down for you. Zero. This is the possibility of Roma doing anything remotely of interesting in the Europa League this season. It's not happening. It's not going to happen. Tonight, we did not change anything from all the other previous games that we played away from home in Europe and in Serie A, where we just flat out gave up before the game even started. I am so tired of seeing these guys when they're playing on a Thursday night and they come on there looking so lethargic after not even a few, I mean, less than a week ago, they were looking like dynamite against Genoa. Tonight, lethargic. Why? Why is it that with Claudio Ranieri at the helm, we still do it? Why is it that when we profess ourselves to be, you know, right in the midst of this, you know, Europa League run, once again, we just crash and burn. Time and time again, tonight was no exception.
Tonight was no exception. Crash and burn is a fantastic descriptor of some of the things we saw on display tonight. So let's just go down it. Roma, their XG expected goals, 0.63. On the other side, 0.96. No big chances tonight for Roma. No saves by Svilar, which is an odd piece of data in and of itself. But if you just think of what we saw, I can't recall one moment from Paulo Dybala. I mean, things are bad when even Salamakers, where he is not even making a dent. He's not standing out. Everybody, and that's the thing too. It's not as if there were 3 to 4 individuals who costed Roma tonight, where you can point to them and say, "Oh, he did this, he did that, goalkeeper did that." This was 11 guys and substitutes delivering nothing, absolutely nothing. And I look at this thing and I say to myself, "Okay." If this is what they consider, because as you mentioned, Mats Hummels before the match, listening to them, oh, we believe in this competition, we could go far in this competition, blah, 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 blah. Same thing every year. It's the Coppa Italia, Europa League, Conference League. It's the same thing. It's happened once in our recent memory in the Conference League. Okay, fine. Enough of this, please. Enough of this. Enough. You're taking it too far when I have to sit here and be patronized into believing that this team is capable of it now.
But also Ranieri, that's the thing. Also Ranieri, I when I say narrative, it's all of a sudden, you know, this team went from being a joke to all of a sudden, yeah, okay, they got some respectable results under Ranieri. And as soon as that happened, all of a sudden, we're in it. We're in for the Europa League. We're gonna, you know, we can get to the final. How? I mean, how many good performances, John, do you recall in this Europa League? Maybe two? Dinamo Kiev and Braga. What, Sporting Braga? Yeah, Sporting, yes. Braga was probably the most remarkable one. Except nothing else. There's just nothing else. So how do you, you know, and there's just no, that's what I mean, no consistency. We were building a nice little streak, yeah, but what does it amount to? You know, it stops tonight. It stops in the moment where you were supposed to win away from home in the Europa League. You don't. And even more so, as you read the statistic, what you'll concede a stupid goal, one shot on goal,
so stupid.
You concede,
yes,
in the second half in a match where you did practically nothing. So even worse, you have Pizzilli who starts. And Pizzilli, for me, is a very worrying pattern of him getting progressively worse and worse. I mean, he's basically doing what people accuse Pellegrini of doing. I don't want to, you know, badmouth such a youngster, but right now he's not doing enough to be considered a starter. So
no,
tonight, if we criticize Pellegrini tonight, Pizzilli, who starts ahead of him, no, really bad. And so this whole idea of, oh, we got, you know, we got depth, we got quality. Yes, I'm sure we do. And I've said it here many times. There is the quality, but at some point that has to come out. Yes. We can't just live off of words.
Well, poor Bizzilli, man. He has done nothing since those two goals against Venezia to seal the victory. One of those things where you almost have to begin wondering if he traded his soul for that moment, because there are so few matches where I can vividly recall anything he's done effective on the pitch. The other thing too is, well, let's just get into it because we've spoken at length about the Europa League. Listen, they're going to go to a playoff. They're going to clinch a playoff spot, a non-seeded playoff spot, and we're going to play some godforsaken team. I mean, I look at the table, and it's almost a game of Russian roulette, so to speak. I mean, come on, enough of this. And it is the usual where every season they do this to themselves and unnecessary. I mean, I'm looking right now. I mean, Bodo, come on, let's do it. Let's dance again. Let's do this thing again. I see who are some of Victoria Pilsen. We've been there before. Olympiacos.
Oh my God. All the hits.
Oh goodness. What?
Victoria Pilsen. It was, if I'm not mistaken, it was with Luciano Spalletti. 1-1 in the rain. Diego Perotti scores on a penalty. You know, that's the kind of history we're talking about. The history of the Roma. Let's face it, John. As you said, this team has an unbelievable capability of, first of all, crapping the bed.
Yes.
Crapping the bed. Spectacularly so. Drawing the worst kind of publicity that a team can draw. So for the first half of the season, we were getting blasted by every single news media outlet, okay? At the same time, this team has also this unbelievable ability to spin the narrative. As soon as 2-3 results go your way, you are all of a sudden king of the world. Yes. And to me, it just doesn't make sense because we have not shown enough. Again, John, our last win away from home was, guess what? It was in Udine, right? When Brian Cristante scores. I mean, so what are we saying? Why are we still acting as if this team has something to show that we haven't seen so far in the first half of the season, that we haven't seen tonight? Tonight is the Roma of this season. Tonight, this is the Roma. This is sort of what they do. They come off a good performance. They go in. They should have all the motivation in the world. They have players like Pizzilli taking a shot at it from the start. They have Paulo Dybala starting, what, his 9th consecutive game? Unheard of. I believe the last time he did something of this kind was with Juve in 2018 or 19. So we're talking about ages and ages ago. So why do we act always like we got a claim to this competition? Why do we always act like we got a claim to higher objectives when in reality, this team, let's face it, a few weeks ago was fighting relegation and it's not so much better right now?
No, it's not. And well, let's transfer market. How excited are you? A right back. Hooray.
Yeah.
Yay.
Well, you said it. Hey, Zeki Salik, you hated him tonight, so more of a reason not to see Zeki Salik on the pitch, no? I mean, that should be enough of a reason to be happy about it, I guess.
I mean, this, of course, doesn't moves the needle a total of zero, the sum of zero.
I think in that role, it's crucial to have the depth, because Saud, let's face it, is not ready, has shown just a couple of good moments. Celik, as you say, he's been mostly used also just sort of as a almost like a center back.
Yes.
And you have to have a quality winger. I'm not sure if French is that, but at least you're adding depth in a place where you're probably going to rotate more than usual. So with, for example, Salamakers can't play every game. At least you have Rensch there to give him some backup. Okay. You know, I mean, then what? Then next up is Golini. Golini, who, I think more of him as a rapper than yes. a goalkeeper. We all remember his wonderful time at Tottenham. He used to represent the Italian national team at some point, and then he just started riding benches, spectacularly going from like Atalanta to Fiorentina, Tottenham, Napoli, Genoa. I mean, it's been unbelievable what he's been doing over the last few years, but yeah. you have to replace Matthew Ryan, so that's a signing. For me, the crucial aspect here, it's not even Rensch joining, it's about what's next. And what's next, I hope it is a midfielder, because again, if something happens to Paredes, or if Paredes decides to get a last minute move, because even now he's been quite cryptic about his future in this interview after the match against Alkmaar, I don't know if we can rely on Pizzilli. Lefebvre was there. Lefebvre is not there anymore because he wanted more playing time. Well, we know that we're chasing Davide Fratesi. I'm so tired of seeing this name. And I don't know how much truth there is, because we know who the agent is of Fratesi, and we know sort of his dealings in Italian football with Inter, with Roma. So I don't know how much I can trust these reports. But we need to get a move on. We need a midfielder and we need a backup striker. To me, yes. those are the priorities. If you ask me about this transfer window, that's my answer. Midfielder, backup striker.
Yes, well, listen. Anything regarding Beperizzo is always going to be filled with narrative. It's going to be filled with he said, they said. Listen, he always plants a narrative, but let's be clear. At least in this case, you are not really having to negotiate the contract, because you've done that 1 year ago. That is one aspect of this negotiation that luckily, thankfully, we do not have to worry about. And The fact of the matter is, Inter, what they are asking is obviously, yeah, listen, it's Pepe Marotta, our side-eyed friend. You're going to obviously be dealing with somebody who initially, at least, is not dealing in reality. Andy, whether it's 50, whether it's 20, whether it's 30, 35, 40. For Roma, an operation of that magnitude, the magnitude is the same, whether it's 50, whether it's 30, whether it's 20. That is a tall ask and a very important operation for Roma. I don't think it's going to happen, because again, I mean, we are having to speak of, I mean, we saw Juve get punished for their very, shall we say, progressive accounting methods. I cannot even imagine. You would have to appoint somebody akin to somebody who worked for Pablo Escobar to find the methods to make this work from an accounting point.
But aren't we trying to get Antonello from Inter? I mean, I'm not accusing him of anything, but I think the Friedkins sort of went into a certain direction with the CEO search. They clearly trying to find someone who's, you know, ingrained in the fabric of yes. Italian football. You know, it's someone who can smell the nasty smell of Italian football. And at least that has to count for, you know, probably the Friedkins realizing that, hey, not everything works say, in Dallas, Texas, but sometimes you have to get down and dirty. And maybe someone like Antonello is a guy like that. Obviously, with Inter, when you go in for Fratesi, to me, first of all, let me just say quickly that when I saw the news that Roma are interested in Fratesi, and first thought was, oh God, no, because I knew what this means. This means that until I think the window closes on the 3rd of February. Until yes. then, we're going to hear every useless update on this situation. And it's going to be always the same thing. Roma are thinking of offering this. Inter are asking for 45 million. Talks ongoing, you know, like, okay, well, but if Inter wants money, they don't have any incentive to let him leave. Why would they? Roma are in a situation where they need a midfielder because they let go of Enzo Lefe with the hope of finding a replacement soon, someone more functional to Ranieri. So what are we talking about here? What can Roma offer? Is Inter going to let Frattesi go in exchange for Cristante? In what dreams? Maybe. I understand that it's easy to do the equation of Pepe Rizzo as Cristante's agent, but let's not fool each other. If anything, Cristante will move in the summer. Cristante has been injured for over a month and a half. He's not going to be moved in January. No way. So much less in an exchange for a player whose evaluation varies so drastically between what Roma think and what Inter think.
Now, of course, we know the will of the player generally wins out. He does want to leave. Frankly, I don't know what he was expecting, because we all know he was very close to Roma in the past. Coming back, it was very, very close. It should have happened for a variety of reasons. It didn't. He goes to Inter, knowing full well that he is by no means a guaranteed starter, and it has worked out as such. I don't know what he would have realistically expected. This is a very strong Inter team. They have a midfield that is predestined by Inzaghi. He's not making any variations to it. So how can you regret the move when it was very clear what was going to happen in the end? He fits a profile. If we just want to speak of a tactical perspective on it, He checks every box. He can score, yes. Mezzala, yes. He can play a little bit of everything, yes. Tactically versatile, yes. Experience in Serie A, yes. I mean, he checks all the boxes. But again, this is an operation of such large magnitude. And by the way, who have they really sold that can sort of balance out? Because again, they're still under the lens of financial fair play. We have to remember that. Roma are in no position to risk that. They are in no position to tempt UEFA. They can't do it. So what are we talking about? You know, 40 to 50 million throwing in Cristante. Come on, enough of this Fanta. There's no need for it.
Again, the only player who might leave is Eldor Shomurov, and it's on a loan. Yes, Zaleski may leave or may not because he's about to become a free agent. So who cares? It's not looking good in terms of exits. There is Enzo Lefe, who may get a permanent move to Sunderland if they qualify to the Premier League, but that's a big if. So again, it's not, we have to remind ourselves that it's not FIFA, and especially for Roma, it's not FIFA. For some other clubs, perhaps it is, you know, Manchester City go out of their way and perhaps they will go and buy Cambiasso for 60 million like that in January. But unfortunately, that's not Roma's situation.
No, it's not. Speaking of Roma's situation, let's do this last part. The last time they got an away win was in Friuli. Speaking of Brian Cristante, the magic in the replay, as we all know, when Evanindica suffered that horrible spell to, he had the heart arrhythmia, very scary situation. Listen, Udinese, Roma, it's one of those places that is just filled with some good memories, some horrible, horrible, horrible. I remember Totti scoring at the end and watching Di Natale just fall. Oh my word, time is a son of a something. 2010, 2011. I believe that was when that happened. Yes, Udinese is one behind Roma in the table. What am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to say? Do we want to break down how well this young attack that they have of Alvin and Alexis Sanchez, a combined age of 106 years. My word, it's I think
they started off well this season. It's sort of, I think, you know, for people who say, Serie A is so fascinating, is it? Is it really? Because sometimes so many times, I can point to so many times that these teams like Udinese, even under Sottil, remember, was it last season or the season before that, where Sottil had them going on like an unbeaten run of 9 wins or whatever. And it's just, okay, but it will stop eventually. So it's fine. I mean, let's not read too much into it. And also, you know, if we were in a different situation with Roma, if the stakes involved were different, perhaps we could go a bit deeper. We could go and say, you know, what will Roma have to do at this point tactically to try and adapt to a different kind of opponent. But if you then take a look at a game like tonight, there was so little going on. And it's not like they didn't prepare for this game. Even Ranieri said, we have to watch out. They have very fast wingers. They are good in the counterattack. They attack. They run. They press you. We will have to watch out for that. And then, but at the end of the day, what did you get out of it? What did we see? That's the thing. We saw so little. I don't know where to begin even in trying to muster the energy to preview this match against Udinese, because the reality of the situation is, okay, Roma lost today. So guess what they have to do next time out? They have to win. I mean, and especially away from home in Udine. Wouldn't that be a fairy tale if you won away from home for the first time since April against the team that you won the last time out? Can Roma do that? Can Roma deliver us this great fairy tale promise? I don't know. I doubt it, especially because, again, tonight you had all the cards were there. You had a team who had one shot on goal all game long, and you still couldn't take advantage of it. So I'm just saying, in this season, it's quite impossible to tackle these match previews and come away with like something that can really make the difference, game in, game out, based on the opponent. Because at the bottom line is, you have to win.
Yeah, we ended saying the same thing each time. I don't know if anybody was sick enough to subject themselves to watching Udinese on Monday against Como. There you have to have some other illness beyond the self-hatred you have for yourself when choosing to subject yourself to AS Roma, watching Como beat them 4-1. You said, isn't Serie A something? I mean, I looked at those two teams and I thought to myself, could they combine these two teams, Como, Udinese, would they get or achieve 10 points in the Premier League if they got their best 11 together and put a team? Could that team achieve 10 points in the Premier League? I thought, no. There was the camera at one point pointed to the bench of Como, and I saw Pepe Reina, Audero, who
it's unbelievable. The Pepe Reina is still, I saw him. It almost gave me a jump scare. It's, you know, it's like those magical animals that just pop up in like those fairy tales, and you're like, oh my God, like I didn't
know.
And
dear friend Andrea Barotti just sitting there. Not even being selected in a match in which Como are flying,
he's being linked with a move with Monza, by the way. So it's not this adventure.
Why not? He is taking the full sort of like the full retirement tour, so to speak. I mean,
this guy was valued at what, 100 million euros in 2017. Like, the Cairo turned 60 million euros down for Belotti.
Yeah,
now riding the bench for Como at the age of 31.
Simone Verdi. Come on, sure. Why
Simone
not?
Simone Verdi, Bologna, sure. Verdi, that one
yes.
season,
yeah, I mean,
11 goals
stuff.
Or something.
I mean, just. Fascinating stuff. Let's end it there before we get into it. Yes, only in Serie A. That's enough illness and sickness for tonight. Win against Udinese. Hooray. Yay. How exciting. Friuli. Late January. Anybody sick enough to travel to that place this time of the year? You deserve what we are probably about to get. On Sunday afternoon, but hey, they have surprised us before. Perhaps they will do it again. Until then, ciao.
Ciao.